You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Good day, listeners.
We are Club Ruby.
And you're listening to Walao on BFM.
Walao!
All right, welcome back to Walao on 95BFM. Before we begin this interview, if you have any thoughts on the tracks we're playing, text us on 5395 or give us a call in the studio on 09309-3879 or DM us on Instagram on walao.radio. Right. And right now, joining us at BFM Studio, is this 201?
It's 101. Yeah. You've been here longer than I
have. No, because one of the... Anyway, joining us in BFM Studio 1 is Nima Astria and Atiki. How are you guys doing?
Bit nervous.
Nervous? Yeah. Why are you nervous?
I don't know. I don't really get a chance to do this a lot. Like, I feel like I'm usually... I kind of do my thing, but, like, I don't have to speak, but, yeah.
We just hear you.
You just let the music speak for itself.
Exactly, yeah. Like, I just play my music, and then I go, and it's very different to, like, actually speak on a radio instead of make a mix, you know?
Right. Well, now we can hear you talk about your music now, so it's great.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So would both of you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Nima Astria, also known as Diana to my friends.
And I'm Atiki. I do sound things at Poynton Studios.
All right, All right, so Nima, you just dropped, I believe, your first single ever with Atiki called Cologne. Would you both like to tell us about this single in your own words?
I would describe it as like an emotional EDM ballad about like kind of losing a sense of home and like stability after like losing someone. Yeah.
Yeah, the song really just like came together. We just ad-libbed a bunch of stuff. We had some ideas to start with, but just went in. We would lock one of us in the studio one at a time and just like sing some stuff and then just put it together, write more words. Yeah.
Yeah. So Atiki, like you have some vocals on the track as well. Are you doing anything else on it, like production wise or instrumentally as well?
Yeah. Yeah. I did a bit. We also had JJ on keys. Also JJ's first ever singing feature.
Oh,
yeah. At the end, do you want to sing it?
Oh, the
my Yahoo.
Oh, yeah.
That was him, yeah.
I originally thought that was a sample and you just toned it down.
It was so much fun. Like, you should have been there.
Wait, was this the behind this? Wait, if I recall correctly in your story, you guys did a behind the scenes where he was doing it, right?
That was us recording it, yeah.
Yeah, that was literally it, yeah.
Honestly, shout out to JJ.
Can you guys tell us about the medieval art style that you incorporated into the music video? What was the inspiration for that?
I mean, first of all, it was just cool as hell. And second, I think when I was originally thinking about it, I really liked the idea of like coming off as hard when you're like in a vulnerable state, like kind of like as a coping mechanism, like just like that feeling of like having an ego and pride trying to mask like your emotional feelings. So I thought of like something that kind of appeared tough, like someone being in armor, like just like they're like guarding their heart. So that was my idea behind it. But then I feel like we had so much fun on set that it just ended up being like a really fun fighting scene.
Yeah, I wish I got stabbed and we had like a bunch of fake blood.
Yeah, that's what we were like really anticipating. Yeah.
I want to be like.
Is that like the idea for the next video, part two?
Honestly, I pitch it every single time, and like no one, they're like, yeah, keen, but like I never get beaten up. Like honestly, like what do I have to do?
You're just projecting your fantasies. Like,
I mean.
That's crazy to say on air, but it's okay.
Well, it's 11. It's 11:30 p.m. We can say whatever we want.
Yeah. I mean, you've got the Broadcasting Standards Authority guidebook memorized as well, right?
Period.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Were those real swords you guys were using? Was getting stabbed an actual possibility in the shooting of the video?
No.
Yeah, like, there was one time that it was like, but like, I'm fine.
We practiced, and then I just, like, stabbed him in the chest. But then, like, we, like, wiped everything off and tried it again, and, like, the second time I, like, missed. So it was very safe. Like, we tried it beforehand.
Yeah, no Otakis were harmed in the filming of Cologne.
Yeah, I only bled a little.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say, like, that did not sound reassuring to me.
No, I'm kidding. They were all props.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
including the chainmail you were wearing, was that, like, were you guys wearing real pieces of armor?
They were kind of real.
I don't know. I mean, it was definitely real metal, and it was really heavy, but I don't know what you would consider real, because I feel like I don't really know, like, a medieval, like, knight in this era.
Yeah, I got burnt, though. Did you know that?
Oh, by the sun, or, like...
Because the sun on the middle, and then, like... Ooh. And then I got all these, like, bruises, because I didn't have underleathers.
Oh, God,
it was,
yeah,
like, straight middle.
Yeah.
So, like, all up here was, like, green when I got home.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember you mentioning that it was super uncomfortable. Yeah,
this side, when I kept landing on it.
Did your body feel sore after wearing that armor?
Oh, yeah, but, like, it's chill.
It's chill. Okay. It's chill. That's just Otaki's words. It's chill.
Yeah.
So, Diane, a.k.a. Nima, were there any differences between, like, the sonic direction you went for on this track versus, like, the kind of music you usually play in your DJ sets?
I feel like usually in my DJ sets, I play a lot more, like, industrial, kind of, like, darker stuff, but I feel like this one was a lot more, like, cutesy. I feel like it kind of had like a video game vibe to it, like, and it was kind of like EDM trance, which I tend to like avoid because I like to do a lot more experimental stuff in my sets. But because it was like my first song ever, and we actually originally made it for a mixtape, I wanted to do something kind of like cliche, like something like very Eurodance, you know? Yeah. But yeah, definitely different to what I usually play, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. And did you always want to release, like, solo music, or did you decide to do that after you, like, sort of began DJing?
Well, I feel like DJing just kind of became, like, a side quest along the way. Like, I've always dreamed about making music. Like, I wrote songs, like, when I was, like, a kid. They were terrible. They were so bad. Like, I used to just, like, ramble on, like, a piece of paper. Like, I went to the dollar store and I got like this like music, quote unquote, music sheet thing. Like, it was like a notebook that had like, it was made for music, and I took it and I just wrote whatever was on my mind, and I would just like sing it in like the worst tunes ever. And then growing up, I kind of like got really into creative writing in general, and then I think when I was 15 I got my first guitar, so I started like songwriting. But I've always been too nervous to release anything. Like, I've always felt like I'm not there yet, because I've always felt like I needed professional training, or like I needed to be like super good to, you know, have the courage to release stuff. But I guess the pressure of doing it for a mixtape kind of gave me more confidence to put something out, knowing that it was for like a collective thing. But then as like time went on, I thought we did such a good job that I was like, I might as well release this as like a single and then get into actually doing it. And it was a really rewarding experience in the end.
So like putting out mixtapes like gave you the confidence to go like, you know what, let's make the jump, like let's actually like put out a song officially.
Oh, do you mean like my SoundCloud mixes or the mixtape that I'm referring to? Because it was basically like a mixtape of like different local electronic artists that was gonna get put out like April, but I don't think it's going on anymore. Like I think they kind of scrapped the idea, but that's what we were initially making it for, like as a collab thing together. But yeah, it was just so good, and we had so much fun that I was like, we should like release this on its own.
And we were talking about this a little bit before we went on air, but what inspired your rebrand from Cupid, which was your former DJ name, to Nima Astria?
Well, I feel like Cupid wasn't something I intended to be like an artist name. Like, I know when I was like 16, I thought about it, like, because it was actually inspired by Outkast.
Oh.
By Happy Valentine's Day. Well, this is so nerdy, but from Speakerbox Love Below, there's a song called Happy Valentine's Day, and it's like about Andre 3000 as Cupid, but he's like the modern sexy Cupid, as he calls it. And I really loved Outkast in high school, so I was like, if I grow up, I want my artist name to be Cupid. But then I made it my username when I was like 18, and then it like became my DJ name just by doing sets and stuff like that. Like, people started to call me that, so I just kind of leaned into it. But I never actually thought deeply about something that like resonated with me. Like, it was just like, oh, this is cool. Like, but I also realized that like it's such a common name as well. Like, there's like two artists/DJs in Australia with the exact same name, and that's only in Oceania. So I was like, if I want to branch out, I want to do something more personal, more unique to me as a person. So I ended up coming up with Nima Astria, because like Nima was my favorite Persian name, and Astria I kind of took from Zoroastrianism, which is like the ancient religion of Persia, which is what a lot of our traditions and our culture come from. So that was why I changed it. I wanted it to be more personal and like more true to my upbringing.
Right. And so would you say that maybe like rebranding to Nima Astria also had to do with like you wanting to lean into your Persian heritage a lot more?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like when I was younger, I didn't really appreciate those parts of me as much. And I feel like as I'm getting older, I'm really understanding like the importance of my background, and I'm like kind of growing out of that shame as an immigrant, you know, like from being different to other people and having different traditions and stuff like that. Like, I've like really grown to love my heritage and feel really proud of our like history. Like, we have such a long history with like poetry and art and music, and I feel like that's such a big part of my life, music and art. So I really resonate with those parts of my culture, which is why I decided to go with something like that. Yeah.
Sorry. I feel like I wanted to butt in and say this question because I kind of wanted to know myself. You were just speaking about your heritage and culture itself. Would you consider adding those elements into your music in the future?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I've already thought about that. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen any of my DJ sets, but like slowly more and more I've been incorporating more Middle Eastern kind of sounds, like Arabic kind of funk, to my sets, and just like little by little. And I feel like it would be really cool to kind of blend genres with music and kind of incorporate like my Western and my Persian heritage together. Yeah.
Are there any Iranian artists, like either from Iran or in the diaspora, that you listen to?
Oh yeah. My favorite one at the moment is this artist from America, I assume. Her artist name is June Gloom, and she kind of like makes the kind of music that I want to make. Like, it's very it's kind of hyper poppy, like very like experimental and very ethereal, and also very intuitive, I feel. And I kind of want to lean into like my like feminine aspects with my music, and yeah, I really look up to her.
All right,
Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you guys wanted to mention as well? Like, is there any future stuff coming out, or between you and Adiki, or just in general?
I mean, I'm still in the process of making stuff. I've definitely been writing music a lot more recently. Mm. So I'm kind of hoping to go into like a more trip-hoppy kind of genre soon. I've been really inspired by like Madonna and like more Chiba recently, and I want to go into that direction for now. But I feel like with music, I love so many different genres that I kind of want to try everything once, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Any DJ sets coming up, maybe?
Yes. Yes, but I don't know if I can say.
Top secret information embargoed.
I mean, I feel like people will know soon enough, or it might be obvious.
Is it like a friends only thing? Or?
No, it's not. But I think for the sake of my friends, I don't think I can say. But I feel like it's also kind of, I don't know.
Just keep your eyes out.
Just wait. Yeah.
If you know, you know. Yeah. And Araki, you know, you're involved in like 100 different projects at the moment. But like, what's taking precedent for you?
Quirkus Folk. I'm doing a bit of stuff for them right now. Yeah, it's like a folk band. Nothing about it. shout out Quirkus. A little bit of solo stuff. Backshot's album coming up.
Yeah.
I can't remember what else, but
This man is just involved in so many.
Psycho Wolf music video is coming. That's what top of my head, yeah.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.